Hello and welcome to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and with me in studio today is English football expert Nigel Naika and Sipho Sihlesoni. Gents, welcome.
How's it, Desh? Great to be here.
Greetings, Desh and Nigel. Greetings to the listeners. It's good to be here. Looking forward to the discussions.
100%. Gents, this weekend sees the Manchester derby, Ruben Amorim versus Pep Guardiola. Now, after making an unbeaten start to life as Man United manager across his first three games at the helm, Ruben Amorim has since suffered back-to-back Premier League defeats in a space of just 3 days to Arsenal and then Nottingham Forest. Nige, let's start with the Arsenal game. What did you make about that fixture?
I think United were a bit shy coming to the Emirates. It looked like they were settling in the first half, but not too content to really attack Arsenal. Looked to hit them on the counter. Didn't create much chances. I think accounted Dalot or the De Ligt chance throughout the game. So I think they could have been braver, but then again, it's difficult to go away to the Emirates. So I think they did put up a good fight.
Yeah. Sony, in Amorim's first game in charge of Man United in the league at Old Trafford, he smashed Everton, I think it was 4-0, but then he goes and loses to Nottingham Forest in a 5-goal thriller. Make it make sense.
It was Everton, bro. Not taking anything away from them, but they haven't been, they didn't start the season well. They didn't start the season well. They're not in a good space right now. So it was good for him to smash them. I was hoping that he was going to follow that up, you know, with that game that you mentioned. But hey, things didn't happen, and hopefully this time around he'll be able to turn the team around.
Yeah, Man United have conceded 6 goals in the opening 2 minutes of Premier League matches at Old Trafford, with 2 of those occasions having come in their last 2 home outings against Nottingham Forest. It's clear that they don't start fixtures well. Is that going to be important going to the Etihad this weekend?
Of course, bro, it's going to be important. I mean, hopefully the new coach is going to work on them, you know, to be able to, you know, focus early. As soon as the whistle is blown, they need to focus and have their minds and everything on the game. This is an important fixture for both teams. Unfortunately, it comes at a time where both of them are like underwhelming or are underperforming. So they need to put out a strong fight. You know, City is still City. They still have those quality players. They still City, and they're desperate to turn things around. So they can't afford to, you know, sleep as the game starts and allow City to score early.
Yeah. Now, that result against Nottingham Forest left Man United languishing in 13th place on the log with just 19 points. It's the lowest tally after 15 matches since the 1986-87 campaign.
It's not good reading. I think they've been struggling under Ten Hag, and now Amorim's in a position where he has to turn the ship around. I think they need to be a bit patient with him. Can't change things overnight. Can they back them? Can they push up the table, go far in a cup run, and look to change things in the transfer window?
Yeah. Well, you know, City are enduring a crisis of confidence. In fact, sparking talk of an ending era. Man City's remarkable 3-3 draw at Feyenoord just weeks ago in the Champions League saw them squander a 3-goal lead with less than 20 minutes to play on home turf. Now, if you are Ruben Amorim, surely your team can sniff something out from here.
I mean, it's games like that, like those that you know, the Amorim should watch and, you know, try and work around them, because if they can be caught and bottle a 3-0 lead, it means if he can score those 3 goals first, he can be able, you know, to control the game, you know, and secure the victory. It's shocking, you know, with the way City has been performing lately, because it's understandable, you know, in a situation where a team had just lost, you know, their regular or top players. But it's not the same situation for City, but things just took a turn for the worse. It's hard to understand, and hopefully, you know, United, you know, will take advantage of the current situation, you know, and win, because that would be good for them. That would be great for their confidence, you know, in their effort to move up the table.
Yeah, just weeks before that one, Man City were mauled 4-1 by Sporting Lisbon by Sporting CP, rather, in Lisbon, a result which continued their downward trend. Now, of course, Ruben Amorim was at the helm of that fixture. Pep Guardiola surely will want to get revenge.
Yeah, no doubt. I think getting slapped by Sporting 4-1 is not taken lightly by Pep. And now an opportunity to turn things around, especially with the form that they find themselves in. Winning the match at Sadabi can certainly galvanize this team and push them up the table, find some better form.
Yeah. You know, speaking of form, defensively, they've looked shambolic. I mean, it's unrecognizable at times. They've only kept 3 clean sheets in the English Premier League this season.
Yeah, I think it's kind of shocking when you look at it. I don't remember a last Manchester derby where Manchester United came into the game with better form than Manchester City. And yeah, that's just proper shocking. So yeah, things to turn around, and they will want to do it this weekend.
Yeah. Sonny, if you are the Manchester City hierarchy, are you going to vote to keep Pep Guardiola, or are you going to vote to oust him following, let's just say, a negative result in the derby this weekend?
I mean, who's better than Pep out there? Those are some of the things that we should look at. I think they should give him some time. Yeah, I mean, he has done a lot for the club. I think he deserves this. He deserves to be given some time, given a fair chance, you know, to try and turn things around. I mean, the January transfer window is coming. Give him the opportunity, you know, to strengthen his squad.
Could be the most important one yet.
Yes, and see after that how he performs. And then maybe if things don't change, maybe for the next season, then you can consider, you know, trying to get a younger and fresher manager. Because the truth is, after some time, you need someone who's young, you need fresh ideas, you know, you need to, like, change things around. Because in football, you know, you can have the best players, but, you know, if you're the best, just know that everybody is looking at you, everybody is studying you, everybody, you know, each and every day, each and every game, they trying to work out how they can, you know,
don't observe, analyze, look at everything how they can, microscopic, you know, detail.
How they can dethrone you, things like that. So we'll never know. Maybe it's time, you know, for them to move on from Pep.
Yeah. Nigel, I'm going to ask you the very same question, because, you know, it was in that dip in form that Man City actually offered him a 1-year extension, if I'm not mistaken. So that was a public backing of their manager, who was under fire at the time.
Yeah, I think it's warranted. Look, the form is just temporary. This guy's won 4 league titles in a row. He could have, if they turn things around, we could be talking about 5 league titles, which is unprecedented. So I think the man needs respect. He's arguably the best coach to ever live, in my opinion, especially with the titles. So yeah, give him his flowers. This is a tough period. Back him in this tough period as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you made it about the titles, because if I'm not mistaken, he hit out at the fans or the media pointing the number 6 to the crowd not so long ago.
Yeah, very un-Guardiola like in my opinion. He doesn't really get frustrated, but it looked to get under his skin with the Anfield crowd there. And yeah, look, it does seem that, like, there's some fire in his belly to turn things around. And if there is any coach that can innovate quickly and find solutions, it's Pep.
Yeah. Well, you know, that midweek clash against Juventus in the Champions League would not have done him any favours. Of course, his City outfit succumbed to the Italian giants by scoring of 2-0. Now, they've been the winners in 2023, as recent as just 2-3 seasons ago. However, you know, they are currently not going to make it, or rather they're going to have to play in the knockout stages to advance, you know, and currently the writing is on the wall for them as far as the Champions League goes.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the best campaign in Europe so far. It will be a big upset if they don't make it to the next round. I think that leaves the gap wide open for many teams to go on and win this Champions League now if they do get out. And yeah, it's a crazy fall from grace to be performing, winning the Champions League last season, and now to be performing in this manner. It really is crazy.
Yeah. You know, Man United also involved in midweek European action, this time away in Czechia. Sonny, do you think that travelling is going to affect that Man United squad ahead of this fixture? Of course, they're also suffering a few injuries. I believe Victor Lindelof and Johnny Evans are still to undergo a late fitness test to determine their availability in this clash.
No, I think it's good for them. I think it's something that they're used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, City also travelled. Not that far, but they travel. It's good for them in this game for tonight. Is it Europe? I think they should use that game, you know, to work out the strategies or to fine tune the strategies that they going to apply when they take on City in the weekend. So I think it's better that they play in midweek rather than, you know, resting, chilling. I think game day experience is better than training.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more over there. Of course, we're going to have to wait and see how that fixture rolls out, but I think a win for United is on the cards. I just want to kind of quote Ruben Amorim. Now, following that Nottingham Forest defeat at Old Trafford, the man said that, you know, the Man United's lack of quality ultimately cost them against Forest, reiterating that there's no quick fix to the issues that he is facing, and a quote, long journey, unquote, is required to return success to Old Trafford. He's also calling for time. How many seasons can you see him lasting at United, if one?
No, we can't ask for seasons. I mean, United is a big team. I think he needs to at least finish in the, let me just say, top eight. Let's say top eight, because January is coming. I'm sure he's going to be given a chance, you know, to strengthen his squad, to bring in new players, maybe get rid of some of the players that he feels that they won't add value to, you know, his team. So that should be good for him. It's better than, you know, compared to someone who came after January, who just has to work with what's available. So, time that he needs is this season, but next season, I mean, he has to do better. I mean, let's look at the Liverpool coach. He came in and he's doing the things. He never cried for time. He's doing the work. So I think that's what should happen.
Yeah, well, if anything to go by, the starting formation is looking a bit different. I think it's more for back five with a double pivot of Maino and Ugarte. Of course, that's supporting the front three of Garnacho, Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes. Do you think he's got the formula, Nige?
It looks like he has the formula. I don't think he has the profiles to implement it. We saw him use the same structure at Sporting and they were frightening. So it's just now about getting the proper profiles to play the system. Kind of feels like some square pegs in round holes at the moment. And yeah, once they get familiar with it and find his own players to play the system, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Lenny Yoro made his first Man United start in that defeat to Nottingham Forest. Is he going to be one for the future?
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's earmarked as one for the future. He's got the profile for it. Very tall, lanky centre-back. Got a stride on him and can spray the pass as well. So does look the part. Very raw 18-year-old. So I do think he needs a lot of game time. But in my opinion, he does look like a proper centre-back.
Yeah. You know, Man City are also stacked with experience over there. However, those defensive frailties have cost them time in and time out. In fact, since the start of November, Man City have conceded more goals across all competitions than any other team from Europe's Big Five leagues. 21 goals in 9 games. Surely those Man United attackers, the likes of Joshua Zirkzee, Rasmus Højlund, will be fancying their chances?
Yeah, they will, but hey, at the end of the day, this is Man City. I'm not taking anything away from the attackers of United. You know, guys like Højlund and Garnacho, as you've mentioned, you know, they are quality. They're capable of, you know, scoring goals. So let's just wait and see what happens, you know, on the day. But I'm sure they'll be able to score, you know, a couple of goals. But because, to be honest, I think heading to this match, they are, you know, a better team.
A better team, he says. Well, looking at the log, Man United currently in 13, Man City currently in the Champions League spots top 4, separated by a points difference of 8. Is it a salvageable position?
City or United?
Both.
I think City more so. I think United going to struggle a bit. We've seen the inconsistencies already. Him coming in, winning 2 in a row and then losing 2. It's going to be a teething process for this United team. And I think that Amorim has come in the press and asked for calm from the fans and from the spectators, basically because he understands the situation. He's taking pressure off the team and himself. And we understand this is Manchester United and, you know, you need change, but it doesn't come overnight. They need to back him. In terms of City, they set up more to turn things around. It doesn't look so good with Rodri's injury right now, but I think once Kovacic does come back and Stones comes back into the midfield, they're going to have a bit of steel again. And, you know, if anyone can turn things around, it's City. They go win 15 in a row and back in the title race again.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at the history books, Manchester United have lost 20 Premier League games against Man City. Only against Arsenal, 21, have they lost more in the competition. Is it a victory for City at the Etihad?
No. 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 For this one, I think United is going to steal it.
Wow.
I think United is going to steal it. I mean, you guys mentioned it earlier that Amorim managed to defeat them while he was at Sporting. I think he can also be able to cook something with United, you know, and steal victory.
Raj, you agree with a victory for Ruben Amorim?
I honestly can't separate these two. I think they coming into this game with poor form.
Yes.
Like a derby, form goes out the window. But this can galvanize either or. Whoever wins here, it can really push on for their season. So I think it's going to be a really tough game. I'm going on the safe bet here, both teams to score.
Playing on the fence there. Yeah. Well, gents, at least we've got those predictions locked in there. Manchester derby done. Let's look ahead to the remaining fixtures. The round kicks off with Arsenal hosting Everton at the Emirates. Is it going to be all guns blazing?
Yeah, I think so, especially after not winning last week against Fulham. And Everton have just been a bit too poor. I know they won 4-0 against Wolves recently, but just to a bit open, I mean, Manchester United scored 4 against them. So, you know, I don't think them coming to the Emirates would be an easy task, and I'm backing Arsenal on the win there.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, Everton have had extra time to prepare for this fixture after their Merseyside derby with Liverpool was postponed. Do you think that's going to help Sean Dyche and company to maybe bury the hatchet in this one?
It's hard to say, bro. I mean, Arsenal are trying to catch up. You know, they're trying to overthrow Chelsea and catch up to Liverpool. So I really don't see them dropping points here.
All right, let's move things over along then to Wolves hosting Ipswich Town. Now, Wolves coming out on the wrong side of a nightmare fixture against West Ham United, 2-1 on the day.
Yeah, look, Wolves, very up and down team. You don't know what to expect from them. But entertaining as well. They've got a few players in there that I really like, Cunha. And yeah, look, at home, I think they back themselves to win against Ipswich. Are they at home?
Yes.
Yeah, at home at the Molyneux, I think they back themselves. Ipswich are a very niggling team. They don't go away very easily. So I don't see it happening very easily, but I'm backing Wolves with the win.
Yeah, well, incredibly, both these teams come into this run of fixtures in the relegation zone. 9 points apiece. It's all to play for.
With the experience that Wolves has and the kind of football that they're playing, you know, they play nice football. I don't know what the problem is there up front. Plus they're at home. I also see them winning. Like I'm agreeing with Nigel.
All right. Moving along to St. James's Park. Now, Newcastle will play host to Leicester City. Newcastle coming off a 4-2 hiding from the GTEC last time out.
Yo, the Brentford were excellent at home, like they've been all season. And yeah, Newcastle just up and down again, can't seem to string a few results together. And I don't think it's going to be that easy for them this week either.
Yeah, well, of course, the opponents, Leicester City, were buoyed by the appointment of Ruud van Nistelrooy. Of course, he has got Jamie Vardy back scoring, as well as Bobby Dekodova-Reed trailing right up until the 85th minute 2-0. They were able to secure a point against Brighton on home soil.
It's good to see them, avoiding more losses, because you know if they continue losing, it means they're going back to the championships. But you know they had St. James, and you know St. James is not an easy ground to pick up a victory. So I'm giving this one to Newcastle.
All right, you also seeing a win there?
Yeah, at home form, I back Newcastle to get over the line. They've got a solid squad, and I think they win here.
All right. Well, over to top of the log, Liverpool. They currently are going to play host to Fulham at Anfield. Now, of course, their fixture against Everton was postponed, as I mentioned earlier. Maybe a bit of work to be done on the team, a bit of massages, a bit of physiotherapy, a bit of hydration for the players.
Yeah, no doubt. I think they would have taken it. It just now means that they're going to cram this game into another already busy fixture schedule in the next few months, which is not great. But yeah, take the pressure off them. They're sitting pretty at the top of the Premier League, winning one again in the Champions League, unbeaten there. So yeah, I think spirits are high, and at Anfield, backing them, home win.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the opponents this weekend are Fulham, who secured a point against Arsenal last time out. Raul Jimenez scoring as early as the 11th minute.
Look, Fulham are one of those teams that can hurt you. I think Jimenez had one chance the whole game and punished Arsenal. But they've got players, Emile Smith-Rowe, Rhys Nelson, Alex Iwobi, players that can hurt you on the counter. So Liverpool will have to be wary of it. And yeah, look, I just think with home crowd, they'll be too strong for them though.
Yeah. Well, of course, that Fulham team are currently in 10th position. Do you think they're going to maybe do the unthinkable and secure a result against Liverpool?
As much as Fulham are a team that has always been able to cause an upset, I think they're going to have a tough time here. I mean, they're playing away and they're playing a team that wants to protect its lead and extend the gap at the top of the table. So, it's going to be the hardest game, I think, that they've played this season. And I really don't see Liverpool losing this one. So I'm backing Liverpool.
Okay. Well, the final fixture of Saturday sees an absolute nail-biter of a clash. Fifth-place Nottingham Forest is hosting sixth-placed Aston Villa. There's barely anything to separate these two, according to the form guide. 7 wins, 4 draws, 4 defeats for either side coming into this one.
I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, Aston Villa secured a win in Champions League. Mm. I mean, they've been doing well in Champions League. Hopefully, they're also going to take that form, you know, back into the league. I hope they're motivated by the win. You know, they're playing away, and you know, it's not easy, you know, to beat new Nottingham at home. I think United, if I'm not mistaken, they struggled there.
They were defeated.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't want to use that word. So, it's going to be a very competitive and encounter. I mean, I think it's one of the most unpredictable one, you know, on the Saturday clashes. Yeah.
Well, looking at Aston Villa, you know, as you mentioned, they are quite the form team of the moment, as you look at Europe and, you know, competing on all fronts. I think nobody can say bad thing or wrong thing about Unai Emery, but his away form in the English Premier League has not been up to scratch. They come into this one on the back of 3 straight league defeats.
Yeah, I need to set something right. No better opportunity now. Put some gap between you and Forest. Forest are a good team at home. So, look, it's going to be a tough uphill battle, especially playing midweek.
Yeah. Which way can you see this one going?
I can't see a winner here. Backing both teams to score and a draw.
All right. Let's look at Sunday's clashes then. Brighton are hosting Crystal Palace. There has been a bit of a turn in the tide at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace making their way out of the relegation zone. 13 points. A bit of form there?
Yeah, I think it's been coming. They're a quality team. It just couldn't happen that they carry on losing and playing poorly. Glasner needs to get them back, and it looks like he has turned the screw a bit. Mateta is looking well, looking really good as well.
Yeah, you know, away from home, Palace have been churning out a few results. They're undefeated across their previous three, securing points away to Wolves, Aston Villa, as well as Ipswich Town. Can they do it again here against Brighton?
Those are some good teams that you've mentioned, but and also not to mention that Brighton has been a bit shaky. So I do see them maybe trying and coming out with a draw. Yeah, it won't be easy, but hey.
You think it's on the cards? Maybe it can happen?
Yeah, it can happen. I think the last game I watched of Palace, they were playing really nice football. So if they can top that, they can come up with some positive results.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think Brighton threw the points away against Leicester last week. Mm-hmm. And Palace have, like you mentioned, been strong away from home. So I'm back in the draw here.
All right. Well, the next fixture on Sunday sees Southampton hosting Tottenham. Of course, it's bottom of the table, Southampton. Surely Spurs should be looking for anything other than 3 points.
You would hope so. Just can't tell with the Spurs team. I think quality plays in there. I think Big Ange must be pulling out his hair every other week. He's such a good manager, and then he has to deal with this. So, I mean, bottom of the table, Southampton, you'd be marking that as a win for them.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing about Tottenham is that when they have it right, it just looks so good. They can hit you from all angles. You look at Southampton's defense, conceded 31 league goals across their 15 league appearances. Only Wolves have conceded more from all top-flight clubs.
I mean, coming from 2-0 up to ending up losing, you just have to make sure that on your next game, you know, you turn things around, you come back to the part. If that's not a wake-up call, then I guess relegation is going to be a wake-up call. They have to win this one.
All right, a bit of harsh words from a London derby winner right there from Sibasisha Sodi. Okay, speaking of London derbies, Chelsea are hosting Brentford for the final fixture on Sunday. Tell me, which way can you see this one going?
Chelsea. I mean Chelsea, with the way that they've been performing. I mean, as we've mentioned, they've just dropped Tottenham not so long ago, and also they're trying to close the gap between them and Liverpool, and also not to mention that Arsenal is breathing down their necks. So if they slip up, you know, Arsenal is going to overtake them, and also they're hoping that Liverpool is going to slip up against Fulham, which the chances of that are very, you know, low. So the best thing they can do is that they also, you know, collect point. As much as Liverpool is collecting point, they must collect point and hope that Liverpool slip up so that, you know, they can overtake them.
Well, you know, interestingly now, Chelsea come into this round of fixtures as the top scorers in the land.
Yeah, look, credit to them. Credit to Enzo Maresca. I think we sing Arne Slot's praises for coming in and doing so well so quickly. But Enzo is doing marvelously himself. I think second in the Premier League is really, really impressive. And yeah, it's got them playing some entertaining football at the same time.
Yeah. Brentford as well, not having the best of away record. Surely it's going to be a win for Chelsea on the day.
Yeah, I think Chelsea are just too strong at the bridge these days. Jackson is coming into his own, and look, Cole Palmer is performing like a superstar every week.
All right. Both panellists then calling a win for Chelsea. The final fixture of the round sees Bournemouth hosting West Ham. Now, the London outfit not having a season to remember.
West Ham have been struggling. Also, the bad news of striker Antonio being in the car crash. I think that's also affecting the team as well. So, look, quality players in their squad. Can they turn things around?
Yeah. You know, they're currently hovering 9 points above the drop. 14th position, very, very perilous, can go either way.
I don't understand this thing of West Ham, bro. I mean, they've got so much talent. They've got so much talent, as Nigel has mentioned it. I mean, last season or the season before that, I think we've mentioned it. We thought Bowens was going to get, you know, a move to a bigger team. I mean, Kudus has been performing. The list is endless. I don't understand why they've been performing like this, and they just there in the
bottom in the drop zone
where they should be challenging for titles up there. I think they won their last game, so hopefully they're going to build from that and continue on the winning lane.
Yeah, well, not only them, but Bournemouth also won their last game. In fact, they've won three on the trot right now, coming into this round of fixtures in eighth place. I mean, that's incredible. A club like Bournemouth, literally just 3 points away from the Champions League zone.
It's going to be tough for West Ham, you know, given their up and down, you know, thing. And for Bournemouth, Bournemouth is at home, so they will not want to lose, you know, at home. And they will, as you've said, they're closer to a continental qualification spot, so they will want to, you know, collect points from, you know, those teams that aren't doing well.
Yeah, and keep the momentum as they will look to do so for the rest of the season. Knight, I want to ask you, how big is an achievement of literally being 8th place, 3 points from the Champions League spot right now, considering they lost their top scorer in the league last season?
It's honestly unfathomable what they are doing. I think it's credit to the coach and the players to be sharing the goals as well. I think they beat Arsenal as well this season. They're a top team, Bournemouth. Three in a row. It's very difficult to win three in a row in the Premier League. They're on the cusp of winning four now and could possibly very well do it this weekend.
Yeah, sounds like he's calling a win for Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think it is. The cards written on the cards here for West Ham. It's going to be a difficult trip.
Well, football fans, you've heard it right here from England football analyst Sipasish Lesoni alongside Nigel Naika giving us their take on this weekend's action. If you haven't already, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and let us know in the comments what you think of the show. From all of us, Sirio, thanks and goodbye.